Well, since we were almost at the end of this adventure, I decided to devote a chapter to discuss with you, the listener, the elements of the philosophy that has allowed me to live the life that you have been listening to. As I have said before, I consider myself the luckiest guy in the world. And I think after listening to my story, at least you have some glimpse as to how and why I would arrive at that kind of a conclusion. I want to launch this chapter by repeating my fundamental basic philosophy in life, which I mentioned at the very outset. And that is, I believe that no one's last thought in this world is ever about stuff. That is what has really been the underlining philosophy through all the decisions and whatever I've done. With that in mind, I have broken down my philosophy into 10 components, which I'll list 1 to 10 and then explain what I mean. I credit these 10 components with whatever degree of success that I've had in life or in business as being essential to these results that you have listened to over the past several chapters. Here we go. Number one, and these are in no particular descending order of importance. These are just 10. You could put them any order you want. Each at some point in my life, each one of these was number one, depending on the circumstances. With that having been said, let's start off with number one. Perform first, negotiate second. This has been an effective tool for me over the years. The issue here is, how do you establish credibility, which is key, really, to any relationship, no matter whether it be personal or business. And I found that the quickest way to achieve that, or at least to begin to achieve it, is with that philosophy. The majority of people do not follow it. They prefer to negotiate first, then perform second. And my conclusion to that approach is that that tells me that maybe they're not 100% certain they can perform, so let's get the deal done first. If you're confident that you can produce, then go ahead and do it first. That definitely gives you an advantage when you go to negotiate whatever it is you want to accomplish, because it's an unusual tactic and that few people employ, but effective. Because what you're saying to the other person is that you're confident enough in your skill set to be able to go first. That will serve you well over the years. So that's number one. Number two, people like to deal with people they like, all other things being equal. I know we live in a technologically advanced world, but whether it's 1850, 1950, or soon to be 2050, people like to deal with people they like. So anything, when you meet somebody, these relationships are very important, personal or business, more so even in business. Because if you can empathize with the person, it gives you an advantage, for example, in negotiating. You put yourself in the other person's position. What do they want? What do you see realistically they're willing to give up? You can't just come to a negotiating table with your own agenda. That's doomed to failure many times. If you understand what the other person needs and wants, you'll be way ahead of the game. Number three, your word in life is critical. Growing up, people whose word was good was, or I should say, people whose word was not good was the exception. Today, people who actually keep their word is the exception. That's kind of pathetic, if you ask me. It's very important, certainly in business, in life. Do what you say you're going to do. And if you can't, if something comes up, advise the person. Once a person realizes they can trust you and your word, you have an advantage. You have a distinct advantage. Because the majority of people, they just, for whatever reason, they're distracted, they're stupid, doesn't make any difference why. But trust is a hard thing to get, and it can only be kept on a regular, it has to be maintained. The fact that you have it once doesn't entitle you to be trusted the rest of your life, if you know what I mean. Number four, in my opinion, relationships are the essence of life. Listening to my story over these past 50 chapters, the relationships are by far the highlight of this story of mine. In fact, I couldn't tell you in any one instance how much money was made or who made what. That was secondary. Establishing a relationship, especially in business, as I mentioned in the chapter, friendships in business are critical. They're not normally pursued because people are in a hurry. But when you take an interest in somebody, that impresses people. A good memory would be very helpful. And it works. I know this sounds 1957-ish. I like to use that year because I had a car. My first car was a 57 Chevy. But it's true. It's definitely true. Well, number five is probably going to take a little explaining. I'm going to start. This one is, I've always been a big advocate of the best thing to buy in life are memories. They're kind of like antique cars. They get valuable as you get older. And I know everything that I have bought, from a penthouse to the limousine or to whatever, I shared. And in the sharing process, you create the memories. You can buy things and for whatever money and forget. But memories are triggered. They're like music. You listen to a certain song and it brings you back 20, 30, 40 years like it was yesterday. It brings back people, places. Memories are the coolest thing. And as you get older, they become more important. So, I mean, I encourage people, at least this is what I've done. I've had a pretty good memory going back as far as I did in this story. So you can see, though, I hope that it came across the enthusiasm that I had for the people that I created memories with. It was special, and it don't go away. Time doesn't make them go away. Anyway, that might take a little thinking on your part. Number six, anyone that sells their soul, it's a bad deal because your soul is priceless. What do I mean by selling your soul? Well, when you sell out your dreams, what you want to do for money, that a lot of people do that. You know, they want to do something, but for whatever reason, family pressure from whatever, or maybe it's not the best paying thing, but it's what they want to do, but they don't do it. They do something because it pays more, or there's some other material perk. Not a good thing. You look back on your life, the difference you made in money does not offset with the regret that you probably should have gone with your heart and pursued your dream. All right, number seven, never assume the role of victim. Excuses, blame, alibis. This is a dark road people go down. When they start to see themselves as a victim, they start blaming everything and everybody for their lot in life. And basically, when a person adopts that philosophy, you spend your whole life with your career, your life, your happiness, or whatever, in neutral. You ain't going anywhere. You're spinning wheels. That is one thing, perhaps maybe the number one thing in life to avoid. Even if you feel that, take responsibility. It's much better to take responsibility for something that didn't work out and learn from it, because that really is the definition of experience. It's a lot of events. You learn from what doesn't go well, really. What goes well, you know, there's nothing to learn. You're too busy wallowing in your own greatness. At least that's what I've done. Anyway, again, enough of me. Number eight, play the game of life, that is, to win. Don't play it not to lose. one of my favorite all-time sports commentator, John Madden, used to say, a prevent defense always works. It prevents you from winning. Go for it. You know, it takes some nerve. Like, once you get one situation under your belt, use that as a connect the dots, as I mentioned in a chapter, and build on that. That's where you can build self-confidence. But playing not to lose, it's a bland way to go through life. And in the end, so what? I mean, so you went for it. It builds your self-confidence, believe it or not, even if it doesn't work out. It does. Number 9 is one of my favorites, as you've heard in previous chapters. Be generous toward others. One of my favorite expressions from someone is Ethel Kennedy made the comment once that the more one has, the more that is expected. I like that. That says a lot. I don't understand people with money. Yesterday, John Middleton, who is the owner of the Philadelphia Phillies, he is a billionaire. Because of the coronavirus, the Philadelphia Phillies lost money like every other team. Well, he decided to fire 80 Philadelphia Philly employees the day before Thanksgiving by way of an email. That's a coward. I don't know how he goes to Thanksgiving dinner. What to do, sit around his family and wallow in how his greatness that he saved himself $2 million in payroll and 80 people and their families are spending Thanksgiving without a job. I don't get that. Don't understand it. As I said, the best I've ever felt about myself is when I've reached out and try to do something for somebody else. It's important. It is important for self-confidence. It's important on so many levels that you get the message. That's my position. And last but not least, this is the fitting ending to my 10-part philosophy. Appreciate what you have. I could never overstate that. People that appreciate what they have are happy. The happiest people I've ever met in my life have been oftentimes the people that have the least material. If you don't appreciate what you have, you're never going to be happy, because there's always somebody has more, or there's always something else you want or you think you need or whatever. If you just do nothing else after this book, if I can just convince one person to agree with me that is the smartest thing a person can do. Appreciate what you have, because there's an awful lot of people that don't have this. For example, there's an awful lot of people that live in third world countries. And you don't even have to go that far in America. So that's how I want to end this chapter. That's the message. If you forget everything else, I'm good with that. If you remember this, appreciate what you have. Thank you.